Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello there, my very good friends. On today's wrestling news, we're going to talk about the new champions crowned at NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 2.
Andrade shoots on WWE's planned Latin America expansion.
We're going to talk about the WrestleMania set design, which has just been revealed with some brand new images.
And has the main event of Night 1 of WrestleMania been revealed? I'm Adam Wilborn.
And I'm Andy Murray.
And this is the news.
All right, let's talk TakeOver Stand and Deliver Night 2, another night of successful wrestling. It was really good. I don't know why I phrased it like that. It was a really good show. But we had three title matches on the night, and two of them saw change. Sorry, four title matches on the night. What am I talking about? But two new champions crowned. The successful title defenses, Johnny Gargano retained the North American Championship over big, beefy Bronson Reed. Good match, but a terrible defeat for beefy boys around the world. My thoughts go out to the beef community today. And in the Women's Tag Team Championship match between The Way and Shotzi Blackheart and Ember Moon, Blackheart and Moon retained. Now, the changes, which, you know, we were always going to have a new undisputed WWE NXT Cruiserweight Champion with Jordan Devlin, wrestled Santos Escobar. Escobar won. He's the undisputed Cruiserweight Champion. Difficult situation with those belts at the onset of the global health crisis because, you know, traveling restrictions meant that Jordan Devlin, who was the NXT Cruiserweight Champion, couldn't get to the USA to defend his belt against anyone. NXT UK was shut down for a while, so they came up with the interim championship. Escobar had that, but it's done now. He's the champion. No nonsense. And speaking of no nonsense, in the night's main event, Karrion Kross defeated Finn Balor to become a two-time NXT champion. It was a crafty match from Balor, being a bit evasive, trying to use the monster's bulk and size and aggression against him, trying to lay traps, and he almost tapped him out at one point, which would have been a shocking result for sure. And by the end of the day, Kross just had too much for him. He overpowered him towards the end, just smashed his head in pretty much for the win. He's a two-time champion after having to relinquish that belt in August due to injury, so I think it's something that a lot of people predicted before the event. But it sets the brand off in an interesting new direction. Two good nights of solid TakeOver action, and now we are ready for WrestleMania.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe night two of NXT TakeOver is hard-hitting. Santos Escobar, Jordan Devlin took some bad old bumps in that ladder match, particularly Devlin, for the finish of that match. Weird as well that Santos Escobar, I suppose, was the heel? I don't really know the heel-face dynamic they had in that match, because then Santos Escobar the Legado del Fantasma came down and interfered, but he won, but he celebrated with his kid and the fans were sort of cheering. I don't know what was going on there. Hard hitting, yeah, Jesus Christ. Johnny Gargano and Bronson Reed nailed each other in that. I mean, you can probably guess what happened in Karrion Kross versus Finn Balor as Andy described it. And then the unsanctioned match, which was, it was long.
It was very long.
Piss out of each other, and spoiler alert, congratulations to Kyle O'Reilly, who emerged victorious after hitting Adam Cole with a flying knee off the top rope whilst there was a chain wrapped around his knee and Adam Cole's head was next to a chair. So it was that's how you win a wrestling match, I suppose. Very excited to see where NXT goes from here and what they do next as they move to Tuesday nights. Of course, after winning the Wednesday Night War, this was a marathon, not a sprint, in the words of Triple H. And you win a marathon by finishing first at the end. That they did in terms of the numbers.
They finished 11th at the end.
Yeah, let's not mention ratings. It's all going to get... Don't argue about it. Let's bloody move on. Jesus
don't start
Christ,
arguments about
Wednesday
it then.
Night War is over. Let's move on instead and talk about former NXT champion Andrade, who's been shooting on WWE, in particular responding to WWE president Nick Khan, not to be mistaken with AEW's Tony Khan, of course, about the promotion basically expanding into Mexico. Tony... Oh, bloody hell. Nick Khan, I knew I was going to do that. Nick Khan had a chat with Fightful and talking about WWE potentially expanding, said this. I'm going to cut out a bit of the middle stuff here, but you'll get the basic point. Talking about expanding into Latin America and specifically Mexico. And he said, if you look at the Lucha Libre product, if it had the WWE touch and work ethic, ultimately you could build that marketplace out where you can have certain events that are still doing 30 million viewers, things you haven't seen in the US outside of the Super Bowl in the year. We have a hyper focus on that region, so clearly that is something WWE are targeting. And Andrade responded by quote tweeting the link from Fightful to this interview whilst tweeting the line, more talent for sitting in the locker room. I mean, he'd know, Andy. I think yeah. He's got a point.
Yeah, he's 100% got a point. Look at the vast quantity of wrestlers that are sitting at home or sitting in catering, as it's often put, doing nothing at the moment. Bit of spice from Andrade on his way out the door. It's fun. It's fun. Don't get upset by it. It's fun. Speaking
yeah,
of fun...
Exactly.
Do you want to look at the WrestleMania set? It's fun. There's not much to analyze here, but we've got some images uploaded here from Eagle 8 WFLA, Floridian News Group, and Tim Ronka, who I read as Tim Wonka, immediately thinking he was Willy Wonka's brother. I'm very sorry, Tim, but sometimes my glasses don't work. Anyway, the WrestleMania set. Look at it. It's a pirate ship. Of course it's a pirate ship.
Yes.
They've not content with just having the pirate ship in the background at Raymond James Stadium. They've built a new one on top of the stage, and it looks awesome. I have to say the ring looks absolutely tiny compared to this crazy structure, but it looks sick. Someone's going to jump off that. Other than that, it's pretty much the same set as WrestleMania 35 by the looks of things, with a video screen with a gap in the middle. So it's cool stuff. It's cool stuff. I cannot wait to see this thing in full flow, and I'm glad to see that they have fully embraced the pirate's life for Mania.
Exactly. Just one thing that needs to be added to WrestleMania 37, and it's behind Andy Murray. To be honest, I saw this. I obviously got very jazzed. It's the week of WrestleMania. WrestleMania is literally tomorrow. Oh, my God. I can't wait. Join us for our live streams for both nights for that, of course. But I genuinely would probably have just been happy with just a ring in the middle of Raymond James Stadium. I'm arguably more excited about the return of fans than I am about WrestleMania. It's going to be socially distanced. It's not going to be the same. But, you know, I enjoyed, for example, the Super Bowl with fans in attendance. And it's going to be something similar to that, you have to assume. Oh, we're nearly there, lads. We've nearly made it through. I know it's not the return of fans completely, but my God, it's going to be some noise tomorrow night. And place your bets in the comments as to who's going to be coming out first. Oh, I'll tell you what, I have accidentally stumbled into an incredible seg for the final news story. But never mind who goes on first. Who goes on last? The main event of night one of WrestleMania has seemingly been revealed by one half of the competitors, Sasha Banks. She was chatting with Erica Nardini on the Token CEO podcast. Genuinely, Andy, one of the best podcasts out there that isn't What Culture Wrestling's. And she said, I've been crying all morning. It's Monday. So this was obviously a few days ago. WrestleMania is on Saturday. I can't believe this 10-year-old girl is about to live her dream and main event WrestleMania. I truly believe that. This is my first singles match at WrestleMania. We were talking about this yesterday, Andy, and realised she's never won a match at Mania. And it's the first time... it's two African-American women will be headlining WrestleMania. This is crazy because it's bigger than me. Few takeaways here, Andy. I honestly thought that WWE would go for Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Lashley. This should have been the main event straight off the back of the Royal Rumble, but they botched the build so badly. I could understand if they didn't put it on, despite the fact these two girls are probably going to steal the show, in my opinion. Also, didn't realise that Sasha Banks was 10 years old. So there you go.
Mara, it's remarkable the kind of career that she's had since starting as a literal infant.
She's had hard paper round if she's 10 years old.
Killing the business, killing the game. No, Sasha Banks and Bianca Belair is the match I'm probably most looking forward to on the night. So I'd be very happy
Don't
to see
lie.
That.
It's Shane McMahon versus Braun Strowman, but it's the second best.
Second best. All right, there we go. So I'd be very happy to see them close out the show. We'll see what happens. Vince is Vince. He might just put his big beefy boys in that slot, but we'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. I feel like Sasha should know not to get her hopes up around WrestleMania. We all know what happened 2 years ago, Sasha.
Oh, yeah.
But yes, in terms of match quality, I think it will be the best match on the night. And it should main event because Bianca Belair won the Royal Rumble. But rules like that don't apply to WWE. Right, let's move on to your Twitter questions. At WhatCultureWWE, of course, if you want to get in touch with us. First question today comes from Derek. Derek? No, not his name, Adam. David Erichhausen.
Okay.
Sorry, David.
Sorry, Dave.
He says, good morning, guys. Now that he's not NXT champion, I can see Finn Balor making a big main roster return. Where would you like to see him post-WrestleMania, Raw, SmackDown, or stay in NXT?
I could definitely see him going back to the main roster as well, but I'd prefer to see him in NXT. I've really enjoyed this run, like really enjoyed this run as the Prince. I think he's been delivering some of the best work of his WWE career throughout, from the very start of this run down in NXT. So I wouldn't like to see that. And, you know, that's not to say he couldn't do that on Raw or SmackDown, but he'd have more people controlling him and he might not have the same level of freedom. So for me, I'd like to see him stay in NXT, for sure.
Yeah, I can't decide really, because I feel like he's completely rediscovered his character and had just been sensational down in NXT. So down in NXT, so dismissively. And so if he brought that to the main roster, yeah, maybe it could really light up something like Monday Night Raw, which is desperately in need of a real character like that, in my opinion. And if he sticks around in NXT, yeah, he's probably going to have great matches. I'd say just give him a bit of time off now, like make me miss him for a while rather than have him come back and immediately, I don't know, re-challenge the title or just have some feud. But also the danger is he not becomes stale, but just gets stuck there like your Garganos and your Ciampas, who have had a great takeover week, of course, but sometimes they kind of just get stuck because it's like they're not fighting for the world title. What are they doing? Either way, I think someone like Finn Balor, who's got a great eye for matches and storylines and stuff, I think he's going to be sensational. But who knows? Very excited to see where he goes next from here. Second question today comes from regular contributor Matt Rains. I wouldn't mess up Matt's name. Matt says, good morning, gents. Congrats on hitting 2 million subscribers. Thank you for that, Matt. It's incredibly well deserved. Credit for this question goes to Brian Zelem, who says, should AEW do Blood and Guts in the Jaguars Stadium? Two rings in Daly's place is quite a tight fit. I'm just bloody thankful for getting Blood and Guts, to be honest, Andy.
Yeah, same here. So the Jacksonville Jaguar Stadium is a very interesting question, and you would say yes, there's more space, and yes, it's a grander setting, but I think it would be very tough to do that unless you have a crowd, unless you have a considerable crowd as well. You wouldn't want to do that in a big, like, cavernous empty stadium where the thousand voices of the socially distanced audience are just kind of ringing around and disappearing into the air of the night. So it'd be very difficult. And to be honest, at the moment with where we're at, I don't know if AEW could sell enough tickets to make that worthwhile. You're talking like tens of thousands to make that worthwhile in a big stadium, similar to what WWE are doing at WrestleMania. So yeah, theoretically, I think it would be a lot cooler with a big roaring stadium crowd, but the time isn't right.
Yeah, I think it's going to be in that cavernous Daly's place. They're sort of where they're all on top of it. I think that probably is going to work better, like you say. Just whether or not they you know, in a normal time, they probably would be able to sell the tickets. With the ongoing global blast, it's understandable people may be hesitating to
go
and buy those tickets. So who knows? Right, final question today comes from Tenacious Tom, who says Chris Jericho recently spoke about how he has never won a world title as a babyface. Do you think there is a second AEW title run as a babyface, possibly after the Inner Circle breakup, leaving him solo?
Oh, man. They might go back to it. I mean, for me, the Le Champion run was tremendous, and I thought it was a great choice by them to have him hold the belt first, and he had a great run. But it would be difficult to do that again, I think. Jericho's had his run with the belt. And at this stage, there are so many young up-and-coming wrestlers that would benefit more from having that spotlight, you know, in a year or two or whatever. So I don't think he needs it. I don't think they need to do it again. The first run was great, but I think that was enough regardless of alignments.
Yes, exactly. I think you, off the top of your head, Hangman Page, MJF, down the line, eventually someone like a Jungle Boy, like, if they're going to, I'm not saying that they are, but if they're going to draw comparisons to WCW, that would be putting the title back on Chris Jericho just so he can have a run as a babyface. But I can see him being a babyface like TNT champion, for example. I think that might be a perfect fit for someone like him. But let us know your thoughts on that in the comments section below. We'll move on to today's and finally, and it's a little bit self-indulgent, but
it's totally self-indulgent.
It's a hell of a milestone. I just want to say a massive thank you to all of you who have subscribed. Yesterday we hit 2 million subscribers here on the channel. At that, it is just days away from WrestleMania. It is, you know, credit to all the hard work of the guys that you don't see on camera for the most
100%.
Part. So, you know, a massive thank you to all of our editors and our writers who just make the stuff that Andy and I do on camera so much easier. But most of all, it's down to you guys. We wouldn't have hit 2 subscribers. Well, we would. Me and Andy would have subscribed. But
to ourselves.
But without you guys, we wouldn't have got to this incredible landmark. And more of the same, basically, Andy.
Yeah, exactly, man. Ultimately, like, just, it's really hard for me to express how grateful I am that I'm able to do this crazy job for a living. And it's thanks to the people who click that button and, you know, like and share and subscribe and leave nasty comments. Oh, everyone who's interacted with us over the past few years, thank you so much. We love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your support.
And now we just need 2 million podcast subscribers. We're just a bit off, just a way off for that one. What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcast from. But yes, once again, thanks from all of us here at What Culture and at What Culture Wrestling. Because as Andy said, we wouldn't get to do this bloody ridiculous job without you guys. So thank you once again for that. Let us know your thoughts on that and all today's news stories in the comments section below. Don't forget to like, share and subscribe. And subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, as I said, on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from for daily wrestling podcasts. Plus, let us know your thoughts, Twitter questions, WrestleMania predictions at What Culture WWE. Well, actually, there, follow both of us. You can follow Andy Murray at
Andy H. Murray. The H stands for, hey, I'll see you tomorrow night on the WrestleMania 37 live stream with the very good looking, very handsome Adam Nicholas.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Oh, one more sleep. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Wilborn and join me on Sunday night with the equally gorgeous Phil Chambers for night 2 of WrestleMania's live stream reactions. But for now, my thanks to Andy Murray, to Derek, to you for watching, and we will see you soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.